Bienvenidos, damas y caballeros. Welcome back to Freeform Radio on the Freeform Network. Send in those questions, suggestions, ffnquestions@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Freeform Network. But again, this is Freeform Radio. I am one of your hosts. My name is Daniel. With me today is Noel.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? Thank you for joining us.
And we got Andy.
It's all good, back in Adam, and we survived another fucking pandemic week.
Barely, but we're here. We're here, and it is another week. Going to jump into some cool stuff to talk about, but first, let's jump into what we've been doing for the week. Andy, fill us in on your watching, viewing. I mean, I imagine that's what mostly anybody does now that you can't really go out and do things. It's mostly just watching things and trying to entertain yourself at home. So fill us in on what you're up to, man.
Yeah, so this week I got hung up on, it was on my feed, watching, I found this channel, this independent filmmaker. I mean, he's an older gentleman now, but he recorded like a lot of conversations and discussions from the 50s and 60s about people just arguing, disagreements, negotiations, and looking at it now from what we're going on, especially the last, you know, 4 years with the political strife in the United States, how people argue on Twitter, which is, I think, completely different from real life. But he recorded some people just having discussions and disagreements, and it was all it was different. I mean, there was no cursing, there
it's
was
more
no
civilized, Andy.
I don't want to say civilized. Sometimes they got heated, and but there was no cursing. Voices, you know, they did raise their voices.
They all had suits on, Andy?
Yeah, they had suits. It was white men that, you know, in today's society, they like to shit on white men a lot. So there were white guys, and they had suits on. They were smoking. There was like 20 people in a room, and they were just having one of them was a union negotiation, and they were talking about why they need to hire certain guys to do certain jobs. And then the city guy was just like, I can't put those guys to work because they have no initiative. And then the other department heads are like, well, you guys, the union won't let me send guys to help because it's not in the union contract. The union guy's talking about, you know, you need to use my guys to do only to do driving because they're professional drivers. And then it was just a funny, it was a moment in time where I was just like, man, you know, they're talking, they're discussing, there's disagreement, but they're not, I mean, I can't imagine not having any discussion as much as I try on this show not to curse, where it was strange to see people not cursing. And right. The argument was, everybody was making their points. Yes, once in a while, everybody would talk at the same time, but it was just like a throwback. And I saw some other discourse on people talking about race relations and some upset, you know, African Americans. And I saw some stuff from like, you know, racial injustice from the 60s. And, you know, and it was just, it was very interesting. And then I saw some average citizen, you know, going to work, and they would ask him some questions about, you know, about civil disobedience and like the civil rights stuff. And some of them were very valid, and some were just like that. But the reporter didn't put in his 2 cents, or he wasn't opining. And it was just like, I don't want to say it was journalism, but you were just getting straight, you know, constant straight talk from the average citizen, and there was nobody chirping in, no fucking fact-checking nonsense that they push now. It's just people giving their opinions and their thoughts, and some of them were, they looked like the guy going to work at a factory who had very educated and sound answers to what he was being at. He didn't sound like no dummy to me. You know, because yeah, you see some of the YouTube stuff and they're just repeating dumb shit that some like highlights and it's just stupid. And but yeah, I mean, it was different back in the day. I don't want to say they were more educated. I think they were able to say more, even if they're wrong. They presented it in a certain way, and the people didn't get heated and started cursing each other out. Especially that, not the news guy or the guy documenting, filming the stuff.
I think there was a lot of things that happened though after that, after the 50s and 60s, like Watergate, and there was a lot of things like the World Trade Center attack, you know, in 2001, and there's the whole Iraq war that was for nothing, pretty much, except for oil, I guess, when it comes down to it. So there was a lot of like betrayal of trust throughout after that period. But you're right, in the 50s and 60s, there was more trust in what they had to say. There was less people just chiming in with shit. And there was no social media. So with social media, I was telling my cousin this the other day, that this is a unique time in our lives where people can go on to, anyone can go on Twitter. One of those like homeless Armageddon's coming people, they can go on Twitter and just start saying, oh, Armageddon's coming, blah, 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 and just start throwing all this garbage out there. Back in the day, you're walking down the street, they're throwing the garbage out there and they're out of their mouth, just saying all this stupid shit. You just forget about it and you just keep on with your day. But when you're on Twitter and you're scrolling through, well, you're going to be bombarded with all this just nonsense and nonsense. Some of it trolls, some of it people that believe all this garbage, and some of the people that are just in like this weird cult that's becoming more popular nowadays.
That's what I'm saying. Like the whole premise is people are spouting out or saying what they believe in or whatever their viewpoint is. I mean, you might not agree with it, but they were saying it. But today it's some of those opposing viewpoints are being silenced, or they use the stupid, the fact checking, and the fact checkers have been known to be wrong, but it's just like, it's so fucking muddy. The waters are so muddy now. I mean, that's why we talked about it in the past. You just do your own research, because any opposing viewpoint from the mainstream media or whatever they're pushing on Twitter, which is documented to know they have certain views on certain subjects, is it's being shadow banned or being like kind of or they suspend it because it's something that they don't agree with, even though some of it has turned out to be true in the long term. It's the big tech companies and YouTube too, they're getting a little bit more they're more getting in your face, and they're blocking or suspending accounts. And then they have that stupid, that wiki page underneath. If it's some controversial or some conspiracy about stuff, they have that little thing on the bottom because, you know, they think you're dumb. But I mean, whatever. I mean, it is what it is. But just going back to the conversation with the disagreements was a throwback, which to me was just like a simpler time where people disagree, but they weren't fucking talking about fucking you up or canceling, kicking your ass. Yeah, cancel culture and all this other stuff that's going on right now.
Yeah. Yeah, man, it's a shame. It's a shame where it's come to. Like, you can't freely express yourself unless it's in alignment with the opinion of whatever platform you're trying to, you know, talk with or talk on. I think there's a monopoly right now, and it's kind of a weird time, but hopefully in the future, there's new alternatives that allow for just, you know, a broad range of people, not just one particular agenda.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, there is need for more alternative, because the Twitter and YouTube and Facebook just from 5 years ago is completely different what it is now. They admit recently. I think Facebook admitted it recently. They're going to pull back a little bit on some of their political stuff. But even Facebook on your wall, they push just all this new stuff in front of you. And I'm just like, I don't want to see any of this. And I keep telling them no. And they just keep putting shit back on my fucking wall. Like, if I want to read news, I'm going to go to my sources or whatever. And they just keep continuing to push that narrative. And I'm just like, I'm not done with it, but I was just like, it's fucking annoying. And that's the problem. And like, they claim, I don't want to say they claim, they Zuckerberg came back and he's just like, yeah, I'm not, we're going to pull back. But yet they're still constantly doing that. And it's just, you know, interesting. And we'll see what happens.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, that's what I got. Maybe I'll post a link of it or in the comment on Facebook, the video that got me intrigued. You know, it's just a throwback. It's hard to have disagreements with people with people now, because instantly they start f bombing you, or they get pissed when you bring back some valid points or whatever. They just instantly get pissed and they start like calling you an idiot or something. And like, oh, that means if they start name calling you, I have a feeling that you won the argument.
Yeah, I made a post one time on Facebook just to kind of see what would happen, because I haven't really instigated anything in most of my life. I've never been an instigator. And in this case, I wasn't necessarily an instigator, but I just wanted to see if I made a comment about vaccinations. And it was more like a neutral comment, not telling you to get it, not telling you not to get it, just telling you to be cautious and like be alert and informed. That's all I was kind of saying at the end of it. And people were just people were fucking savage, dude. Yeah, I got hundreds of comments, direct messages telling me like just the worst shit ever. I'm like, these guys don't even know me and they're saying all this crazy shit. I'm like, damn, dude, times have changed. But it was making me laugh. Like, that's the thing. I took it well, but other people might not take it the same way. And, you know, that can get very dangerous very quickly for other people.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how I'll continue to watch my videos and we'll see what happens. But the other thing, a quick blurb, you know, one of my, you know, with all the streaming apps that are popping up lately, the WWE Network sold its soul to Peacock. And, I mean, they're going to get, I think, almost $1 billion for 5 years for Peacock to have all their content on their platform, which I found kind of interesting. So the WWE Network is going away and going, McMahon got some upfront money to put it on Peacock. And so I guess if you have Xfinity internet, you get the Peacock as part of their, you know, their basic package. So now you'll get the WWE Network, which is going to include all their pay-per-views, especially the big one, WrestleMania. So just letting everybody know what happened.
Peacock?
Yeah, the Xfinity, the NBC, Universal one, NBC, is called Peacock, and all the, you know, the Raw is on USA Network, which Xfinity or Universal owns. So all that stuff, anything with Universal is going to Peacock.
It's just a bad name. That's why I was like shocked. Yeah. I thought it was like a nickname for a second, but wow, okay.
Yeah, like The Office, they left Netflix to go to Peacock because, you know, Universal.
That's right.
That's why they made it. That's they were pushing that, and so yeah, the WWE Network just peaked at I think almost 2 million subscribers at the end there. I think they ran some numbers and they kind of figured they were not going to be able to grow past that because they were hovering around 2 million for a while, and I think they decided to just take some of that upfront money and just let the Peacock app or whatever streaming site deal with it, and they'll just take some money. So I think they get $250 per year for a while, and then that includes the pay-per-views, which is the way WWE pay-per-views have been diminished is kind of sad, especially WrestleMania, when people used to pay like 60 to fucking 70 bucks for that one event, and that was their biggest event. Just what it became to it, what happened to it now is kind of, it's kind of fucking sad. It's just like a, it's a free for all. Anybody could get it now.
Just because the quality is dropped, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't watch wrestling as much as I used to, but every year I still watch, even during the pandemic, I watched the pay-per-view, the WrestleMania, the two-night event, which was different not having people there, but it's just, I guess you got to do what you got to do to survive, you know?
Can you still get the network without Peacock?
No, it's going to be exclusive. Yeah, they're handling everything. So that's what I said. All the pay-per-views or whatever they call them, they don't call them pay-per-views, the special events, they're all going to be on Peacock. And if you have Xfinity, you have the network now. So I'm pretty sure they're going to say they're bringing all these subscribers over, you know.
So you still got it then either way, though, right?
Yeah.
You got Xfinity, right?
I got Xfinity. Now I got to, like, I never really signed it up, because I thought it was dumb, the Peacock, when we got it. But now I'm going to have to set up that account just so I could get network, because I bought the password and email I was using kind of ran out on me a couple months ago. But, yeah, I mean, it's another upfront money for WWE. So the only thing, I don't know if Peacock is on that PlayStation network then, because I used to use my PlayStation a lot for all my media streaming, but I don't use it as much no more. I use my Chromecast, and I see that you fucking finally upgraded your PlayStation. So what's going on, man? Is the Peacock on there now that the network is going to be disappearing soon?
I don't think it's on there. To be honest, it's kind of slim pickings for the media streaming things for PlayStation, at least the PlayStation 5. I finally got it, finally picked it up after doing a little hunting.
How'd you get it? Like, where'd you go?
I got it at Best Buy.
Whoa, got, for real?
Yeah.
Who
goes
to Best Buy?
Well, I didn't go into the store, but I had been holding off for a while. I mean, like I mentioned before, I was really interested in it when it was first launching, but there wasn't really anything specific for PlayStation 5 that I wanted. So it was that kind of thing where if I run across it, I might pick it up kind of thing, but I wasn't in a super hurry to get it. But and also with all the financial stuff going on with all the COVID, I felt kind of guilty, you know, spending, you know, $600 on something, and, you know, here we're struggling to pay the light bill or whatever the case would be, you know, with work and with everything with the COVID going on. So, you know, I kind of like, forget it. I'm not going to spend that money right now. I'm going to hold off, keep it in the bank. And yeah, man, I finally had a chance to pick one up, and it wasn't as hard as maybe you're thinking. Well, all I did was I started following on Twitter, which I never really use my Twitter, but this is when I actually had to turn on the notifications so I could see the thousand of people commenting. Then I had to go and silence everybody minus these two guys. One guy, his name is Wario64, and then the other one is like PS5 stock or something along them lines. I forget what that PS5 one is, but it's something like that, PS5 stock. And these guys would post anytime any retail would get stock on PlayStation 5s and Xboxes. And so I would get a notification, Target just got some stock, go onto the webpage. And then I would go onto the webpage, and sure enough, they would have some. And then, you know, Costco, Sam's Club. And it was just like they would constantly drop tweets on when places would receive stock. Now, everything was really limited, so if you didn't jump on it that minute, by the time you got on it, like half an hour later, they would probably be all sold out. So, yeah, I got a notification that first Target, which was the one that I was interested in because I had some gift cards at Target and I was hoping to consume them. But for some reason, when it was in my cart and I would try to check out, I kept getting an error. So I ended up losing that one. And then like a few days later, Best Buy came up and I went on, put it on my cart, checked it out, and everything went through, man. And a few days later, I got a notification that I can pick it up at the store. And so I just drove up, opened up my trunk, and somebody threw the PlayStation in there, and I drove off. So, yeah, nice. it wasn't that bad. Yeah.
Nice, dude.
But I guess to Andy's thing about the Peacock, it's really slim for the media. So I was kind of surprised to see that, and not surprised too. I mean, usually with the launch of a new system, it doesn't usually have all the bells and whistles that the previous generation had.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still using my first gen Chromecast. I mean, I fucking love that thing. And I bought one, the fourth gen, a couple of Black Fridays ago. I still got it in the box. It's just the laziness hasn't allowed me to put it on. And I'm just like, it's still working. And before that, I was using my PlayStation 3 and 4 to some extent. But I don't know if I remember Sony used to make a big deal making the PlayStation this entertainment hub. I don't know. I don't think that's one of their big things now, because there's so many other, they're competing with so many other gadgets. So I don't know if they're just trying to push it as this gaming experience now, like the big, that's all we're going to focus on. So I don't know what they're thinking or their marketing is right now with that.
Right. I do think that they focus more on gamings now, but the media part is a portion of it as well.
It's a part of it, yeah.
Yeah, just because they release games more than anything, and that's really what they push. But even the PlayStation 4, when I did have all my media stuff attached to it, I'd be playing a game, and then Alana would come downstairs and he's like, hey, what you doing? Hey, you want to watch some TV? So we'd just flip it over to the media tab and start, you know, watching some TV. And then she would leave and she'd be like, yeah, I'm going to go do this. And then she would take off, and then I would just flip back to the PlayStation 4, and it's all in the same system. So I don't have to wait for it to boot up and this and that. So it was all connected. And the PlayStation 5, I'm assuming, will be there one day in the near months or whatever, as they release new updates. But right now it doesn't have the Paramount Plus. I don't recall seeing Peacock, but I didn't really look for that. But yeah, all I had was like Netflix, Amazon, and Hulu, and a couple of other ones, but not too much. But yeah, it's cool so far, man. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's what I'm saying with the Peacock. I wasn't really interested, but they gave me a box for that thing. The
Xfinity.
And I set it up and I'm like, this fucking sucks. It was clunky and I didn't like it, so I just got rid of it. And at the time I still used the Chromecast, but you know, the PlayStation 4, I mean, I'll game once in a while, like very rarely during the pandemic. I gamed a little bit more, but not a lot. And then I mostly use it as my Blu-ray player. And I mean, the only thing I noticed with the Blu-ray, it would now when I pop something in, I feel like it gets loud.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got to talk to you guys. Like, is that normal when it's running a disc to get kind of loud towards the end?
They do get loud. I mean, it's like any kind of computer. If the processor and the cooling fan start getting clogged up with hairs or just dust, it has to run faster. The fan needs to run faster at a faster RPM so that it can cool off the processor. So it's definitely a good habit to get in there and just kind of blow it out every couple months just to make sure that you're getting as much cool air as you can. But yeah, these are mini computers that, you know, they ramp up and down, or at least most game consoles do. Yeah, as you know, the cool off is needed for sure. And I'm sure Noel's probably real accustomed to that, building PCs and whatnot.
Yeah. Definitely need to maintain it, keep it clean, and it'll last longer because electronics hate dust.
Right. And actually, the PlayStation 5, I've had it for about 2 weeks now. And yesterday I had bought this sticker a few days ago online, so that it can cover up this hole, not a hole, but this like notch cutout on the external piece on the PlayStation 5 that's just black. You know, it's just letting you see the black behind it. So I bought a sticker that makes it look like the old school PlayStation symbol in the background. So then now I stick this onto the black surface behind the white panels, and now it looks like the PlayStation symbol. So it looks kind of cool. But anyways, I took off the panels for the first time, and I was surprised that there was like an outline by the fan already of like the dust. And I'm like, shit, man. I'm like, this is just after like 2 weeks that the fan has created on where the fins are on some of the dust. So Junior was helping. Yeah, I mean, but it's tough because you can't even put a cover on it because you're just going to choke it even more. I think that the best habit is just to really just go in there and really blow out the fan really good. And that's one of the good things about the PlayStation 5, or at least so far from what I've seen from the videos. I haven't done it myself, that it looks like you can take it apart fairly easy. And so you can go in there with compressed air or even one of those like brushes and kind of knock off any big particles that might be in there. But yeah, I was surprised to see how much was in there.
You know what I recommend to you? There's an air, it's called Airbuster. It's made by this company called Aero. And it plugs into the wall, and it's, you know, unlimited, you know, air, compressed air. And then it has like different attachments, and it has an attachment with a brush. And this is what I use to clean my PC and other components and stuff around the house. But it just saves you a lot of money in the long run, because I used to buy the cans, compressed air, and I would spend like $40 on this, and I multiple times throughout a year, right? Because they're pretty expensive nowadays. And I'm like, dude, I can get this for like $40-$50, and that's going to last me the rest of my life, you know?
Yeah, for sure. What is it called? Because, man, I spend quite a few on these compressed airs, and they're not cheap, man. I usually buy them from Menards, I think it is. Mm. It's the cheapest place that I've been able to find, where you get a can or a three-pack, I think, for like $10. And to me, man, that seems ridiculous for compressed air, but you need it, man. I every couple months or so, I get Junior to take down his PC. I take down my PC. We kind of clean out the fans. I clean up my gaming system. So we made it into like a routine, just so that everything runs as cool as possible.
Yeah. So this is called Aero, AIRROW, Aero Pro. And this is a multi-use air duster.
Nice. And nice.
Yeah. It's worth the money. I've used it many times already.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to have to take a look into that and see if maybe picking one up, just because now that everybody's into electronics and, you know, electronics are everywhere, it's a good habit to get into. And I know some people, they even put their PC on the floor kind of stuff. And man, that thing is going to suck up all the dust on the floor, because no matter how much you clean, there's just shit floating in everywhere. So, yeah. I try to keep my stuff high up off the ground so it's not picking up as much. But yeah, back to the PlayStation 5. It's cool. It's a new gadget. It's really quick, really fast. You load up games. It's like almost instant. So it's really cool. Just waiting for some of the updates to come out to bring it up to PlayStation 4 as far as some of the amenities that it had. I really don't care for the media player on the PlayStation 5. A lot of the apps are not there. So, yeah, I'm still waiting for it to get up to that level of PlayStation 4, which is really surprising, man. But it's been like that all, you know, forever. You know, when you get a PlayStation 3, it doesn't have all the cool stuff PlayStation 2 had. And then when you get a PlayStation 4, it didn't have all the cool stuff PlayStation 3. And it's always been like that. I just don't understand why not. Like, why not bring over, you know, those assets or those features. Like, I think PlayStation 4, when it first released, it wouldn't even play like MP3s, I think it was. I can't recall, but there was one system, either PlayStation 3 or PlayStation 4, when it first came out, it wouldn't play MP3s, and the system before it would play it. So I really don't understand why some new system.
Is that still the case on that?
No. They fixed it since then with firmware updates. And even this one, any kind of, like, I don't really care for the interface for the media player. I'm sure with updates, they're going to improve it and make it better. But it's just like, man, why can't you give me at least where you left off on the previous generation, unless it was totally jacked up and you're looking to reinvent it kind of thing, then I could understand how you maybe bring out something new. But it's a media player, man. Give me the same buttons you had before. Give me the same options. Like the folder structure is like totally jacked up on the media player. So I'm like lost.
On the 5 or the 4?
On the 5. I got really used to it on the 4. And I got really accustomed to it. And I thought it was kind of really nice for a media player. So I was like you. I would view my movies there. I would, you know, whatever. I would use it all the time for my PlayStation 4. But now, like when we got to watch Netflix or watch a movie that I have downloaded, I turn off my PlayStation 5 because I'm not going to use it as a media player because I just don't enjoy the media package that they have.
I think part of it is it's just that smart TVs are becoming so good now, because I used to use my PC for all the media stuff because it's a PC. Now I only have it on maybe 10% of the time, just to like browse the net or whatever. If it's anything media related, I have externals that I hook up to my TV, or I go on Amazon Prime or YouTube or whatever, all through my TV. So I don't even need the PC for anything media anymore.
Yeah. I think that is kind of true.
Yeah, the media, the way we consume media now with the smart TVs was a game changer. And because before that, you know, we had to use other gadgets, the Rokus and the Chromecast and the PlayStations and the old Blu-ray players that had like built-in Netflix. And now at the peak, I think my PS3, I used it for everything, DVDs, Blu-rays, the files that I downloaded, music player, the MP3. And with the PS4, I remember there was some issues playing some of the media back that I downloaded. And I think that's why I kind of really transitioned to other things, and with the YouTube and like all that other stuff, it's so much easier to find stuff and just stream it with hitting one button or with the smart TV. I mean, it became a lot fucking easier, and you didn't need other gadgets to consume your media. It was just one click, or you hit one button, somehow it would pop up on your TV.
Yeah, I until the media kit player gets better on the PlayStation 5, I might have to plug it into my TV like Noel's suggesting. Just because I put my PlayStation 4 in the bedroom to use that as my new Blu-ray, and the PlayStation 3 that I had in the bedroom, I brought it downstairs and connected it to my TV. Maybe I'll use the PlayStation 3 as my media hub for now until PlayStation 5 gets their act together. But we'll have to see. We'll have to see what I do. But the PlayStation 5 is definitely exciting. Might use the TV, PlayStation 3, but I'll have to figure something out. But Noel, tell me about this indie project, man. You know, I kind of really like these sometimes. Sometimes they do a really good job. They're not low budget looking, and they do a really good job. What's this Batman indie thing that you were watching?
So I literally watched this this morning right before I got on here. It's a 30-minute feature, like video, I guess you could say. It's on YouTube. It's free to watch. And the company that made it is called Bat in the Sun. The reason I got aware, or the reason I became aware of this, is because the company Bat in the Sun, they have Kickstarters for projects like this. And one of those projects was a continuation of Power Rangers, the original series. And it's a continuation of some of the characters in the whole universe in general. And so it's going to be more gritty, more made for adults and things like that. So I backed that up for like $20. And with that, I get like a free copy and all that. And so, yeah, just to kind of bring it back to Batman, now because I'm aware of Bat in the Sun, I'm aware of everything else they're doing. And this came up and I was like, oh, yeah, 30 minutes. Let me give it a shot. You know, I love Batman. So let me see. And I went in with no expectations. I'm like, oh, this is going to be, you know, probably low budget or whatever. But it was worth a watch, right? And I was shocked. It was actually pretty exciting. It kind of felt like watching a cutscene from like the Arkham games. So if you like the Arkham games, it actually coincides with the story of Arkham. And Joker's in prison and he's dying. And that's why the title's called Dying is Easy. It's believed he has melanoma. And so Batman's trying to solve this case that you get introduced to at the beginning, like first 5 minutes of the movie. And there's three missing police officers he's trying to track down. So he goes about it. He knows Joker's involved, so he does this like long game. He plays this like he ends up tricking Joker into giving out that information. And it's kind of concise. Not like a lot happens, but it does have some cool cameos. Michael Madsen, I'm not sure if you remember him from Kill Bill, from I think he's in Sin City. Michael right, Madsen's
Reservoir Dogs.
In Reservoir Dogs, of course. Can't believe I forgot that. So he's in it. He plays detective or Lieutenant Bullock, is the detective that works under Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah,
and he has a couple cool scenes with Batman, and there's a few other cameos that you'll recognize. One of the guys from Hellboy, the weird alien guy from Hellboy, he's in it.
The skinny guy.
Yeah, what's his name? Doug Jones,
the British guy or something. Yeah,
I think his name is Doug Jones, the actor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, it has some cool actors. You're gonna see Batman. You're gonna see Doctor Strange. You're gonna see Hugo Strange. You're gonna see Joker, and it was cool. I don't want to spoil it. You know, it's only 30 minutes. I really do recommend you guys watch it. I think you'll like it. The cinematography was good. The production was good. The acting was believable, and the Batman, his voice and the way he delivered the lines, I thought was pretty good. Joker. He did better than I thought he was going to do, and he played pretty well. I was expecting nothing crazy because I've seen, you know, some pretty good Jokers. Joaquin Phoenix was, you know, kind of a Joker. Heath Ledger was a good Joker, and the animated series had a good Joker. So I was kind of hoping. I was like, man, I hope they don't fuck this up because the whole story is about him, so... I was pleasantly surprised, you know. There wasn't a ton of action, I will say that. The most action you'll get is in the first, like, 3 minutes. Batman just kicks the shit out of these guys that abducted a girl. And yeah.
So, is it animated in a while, or is it live action?
Live action.
It is live action, okay.
Yeah. And surprisingly, dude, like, the special effects was actually really good for being, you know, an indie project. I was like, damn, dude, this looks better than most like actual official like big budget movies. I'm like, what the fuck's going on here? Maybe it was the fact that, you know, it's a shorter film, like just 30 minutes, not 2 hours, you know, so maybe they had better
the fan films. It was like a big thing when me and Danny were going to conventions,
right?
Like VHS tapes and like DVDs eventually. But there was a lot of Batman fan films out there. They made a Robin one, they made Superman ones, and some of them were, amateurish. And there were some really good ones. Once in a while, like, I'll get bored and just type in fan films on YouTube, and all this shit pops up, and like, there's a lot of Star Wars ones. For a while, I know there were the comic book ones got really popular like a couple years back because of the Avengers, and there was a lot of those floating around. But Batman's always been, there's a lot of fan films on Batman, and I remember seeing fan films on Batman like the early 2000s, late 90s and shit, and I was like, damn, like you said, they're like, this is way better, like more darker than like the fucking movies that were coming out at the time, where it felt like there were toy commercials instead of like an actual fucking action movie, you know, at the worst case action movie. And even that wasn't the case. And some of those late 90s, early 2000 Batman movies, you know, the big thing is they put nipples on the bat suit at the time.
Wasn't that with George Clooney or Val Kilmer?
I think Val Kilmer. Yeah, he put nipples on there and people made a stink about it, but whatever, you know. But yeah, Star Wars was a big thing on the fan films, and it's always been I always felt that was like a niche thing for comic conventions, because there for a while the bootleg guys just had a shit ton of fan film compilation VHS tapes or DVDs. But I remember there was this one year where there was a Batman fan film, like everybody was buying it at the conventions. I forgot the name of it. I think I fucking might have bought it and I lost it in my tape collection or donated it. But there was it was really good. There was a Joker and shit like that, and I think it was like at most 10 minutes long. You know, this is all before computers and CGI came in.
Yeah, dude. I was really surprised that this one it did pretty well. And it gives me hope that the movie that I put money towards, the one that's still not finished, gives me hope that that company is going to do well with that as well.
Nice.
Did you see real quick, because you watched Green Arrow, right?
Before it ended, yeah, like it, I think it went on 8 seasons or something like that.
Yeah. Did you know he's making I don't know if it's fan like a Kickstarter, but he's making like a wrestling drama show. Did you hear about that?
Huh,
Because
Stephen
he wrestles.
Amell, the manager?
Yes.
What
Yeah,
the
he's a big wrestling mark or whatever, but I saw someone release some pictures that he's doing like a wrestling dramatic show like on the indie circuit. The only thing I don't know if there was like some if it's like a Netflix deal or it's like he's doing some Kickstarter thing. I haven't really searched. I saw some pictures and it was like a mixed reaction on Twitter. I know you guys watch them, so I don't know if you're
Huh.
aware of that or not.
Nah, honestly, he kind of fell off the radar after the show
Yeah.
finished, and it's kind of a shame because he was a good actor in it. And yeah, that's I'm gonna have to look into that. It'd be interesting to see how that works out because I'd be so shocked too. He's Canadian, so I wonder if it's gonna be like Canadian wrestling. Maybe you have like a Bret Hart cameo or something like
Yeah, dude, it was
that.
like that's why, and it, to me, it looked kind of like one of those indie project type of deals. What I saw, and I'm just like, I don't know, I don't see any studio or like Netflix giving up money to produce any like dramatic 1 hour, half hour wrestling shows, and so it was just like I said, fan filmish. That's what I got from it, and then. We're talking about this. That's why it just popped in my head right now.
No, that's cool, man. I'm definitely have to look into that for sure. Yeah, just one other thing I wanted to mention for this week is that bonfire weather is almost here. So finally, man, like we've been having some really good weather, like 50s and 60s this last week, and next week is gonna be in the higher 50s as well. So I'm excited for that, dude. I like having bonfires, and I got this new thing. It's like packets of like salts that you throw into the fire and it like lights up really cool colors. And so I'm like, oh, that'd be cool to have like the little grill, you know, little cookout, have people come over and then just do a little bonfire with that. How about you guys? You guys get into that?
Yeah, man, I'm ready for the barbecue weather. Get that grill going, so I'm excited, man.
Yeah, I mean, my wife wants to get one of those bonfire grill things, but I'm not crazy about it because I don't know. It's nice. I just don't want it at the house. Like if we're at a campsite, fucking awesome. If at the house, I'm kind of leery about it.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that. It could be kind of messy to clean up the next day. I remember I had a part, not a party, but like I had a little gathering, and the next day, dude, it's just is all this ash everywhere, all this shit to clean up. But I mean, it's fun in the moment, I'll tell you that. You know, a
Right,
nice
right.
day, you spark up a little blunt and just chill with your friends and have maybe a little drink or two, talk about stuff. But
Yeah,
I
no,
mean.
we just recently did our grocery pickup, and the weather was so beautiful that I told Alana, I'm like, we got to start gearing up our barbecue foods, hamburgers and whatnot, so that we can, you know, be able to barbecue in these next couple days.
Hey, am I invited then?
Right now, with social distancing, I need that passport saying that you got vaccinated before you come into my residence.
I'm gonna just get copies from somebody who's at work and just scratch his name, and put my name on there at work. Wait, you're gonna just have hamburgers and that's it?
Yeah, for my first one,
Let
sure.
me think about it.
Well, because where do you go get like costillas and some arracheras without going inside somewhere? So I can't get this like mailed order, like, hey, drop it in my trunk and I'm driving off kind of thing. So I'm gonna have to figure something out for that one.
Figure it out, man. Can't you order arracheras limpias y por las máquinas from somewhere?
I don't know what website does that for you. I might have to get my dad to do like a mobile order for me and pick it up for me since he's willing to risk it more than I will. But yeah, man, the weather's here, man. So yeah, definitely that bonfire weather's here for sure.
Yeah, I'm down to make some burgers, man. I actually made a burger yesterday inside. Dude, I'm on fire right now. I'm getting better and better every time.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I've been watching like YouTube videos and I'm like, damn, let me try this, let me try that. And yeah, I mean, I'm like perfecting the craft of making a good burger.
Nice. Real quick, I just saw, speaking of YouTube cooking, I saw this guy. I drink a lot of seltzer water. He gets like Perrier, and then it's better than Coke, man. I need carbonated drinks. So anyways, he was grilling steaks inside his house, and he was pouring unflavored seltzer water on it. He says it makes it a lot better, which I found very fucking interesting. So I might try that down the road.
Huh. All right. I'll have to do two steaks, try one with it and one without, yes, and see the difference.
Yeah, he had like cheap flank steak. It wasn't like high end, like a ribeye. And he says it makes it a lot, it just improves it, he goes.
Interesting. You know, I got a steak, actually. I got a 1 pound New York strip. That's like my favorite one. So I'm going to have to try that out.
Like, you grill it, or you like just saute it or like fry it in a pan?
Well, now that the weather's getting better, I'll probably grill it. But right. Like this whole winter, I've been just cooking inside. Like, it's been way too cold to be out there, dude.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But yeah, no, yeah. This year, I'll probably grill it, if anything. Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it. It's my kind of weather. You know, you might need a hoodie at night, but you know, for the most part, bonfires are. That's what it's meant to be. Is like you're kind of chilly, but you get close to the fire and you're good, and you get to spend time with people you like and do the things you like to do. So that's important. And I was actually going to ask you guys. So there's been a lot of talk about marijuana being legalized on a federal level. And I know back in the day, you guys, you know, partook a little bit here and there. So my question to you guys is, if it does become legal on a federal level, are you guys, do you guys think you'll be more open to consuming it again?
So this is assuming workplace establishments would be okay with this particular activity?
You know, that's assumed, because if it's legal on a federal level, it's like them telling you not to smoke cigarettes, and then if you do smoke a cigarette, you'll get fired. Like, that's kind of like illegal, I would imagine. You know what I mean?
Right. I guess it depends, because most workplaces could say that, yes, you do have the right to partake in these activities, but not within these work hours. And right, with right now, with testing being limited for weed, as far as being able to nail down the exact times that you smoke, kind of like with alcohol, like you can get a time frame like within the last hour or so he drank this much, it would be kind of difficult, because I could see the work just being kind of ambiguous and saying, oh, you tested positive for having you know, THC or whatever they test for, actually in your blood or in your pee. Is that going to be means enough to, you know, terminate you from your work? So I guess that's when you kind of get into semantics, and is it going to be cool or not?
I guess you bring up a good point. If you like drive a forklift, or if you're operating heavy machinery, like on a construction site, and yeah, you have an accident, you know, you definitely don't want anything in your system, because they will for sure test you after having an accident. But if you're working in an office, or you're out of your desk, 99% chance you're probably not going to get into any kind of issues. At least that's been my experience in the office environment. Right. A lot of people that I've worked with, they've done a lot crazier stuff than marijuana. Let's just say that. But they always come ready to go at work, and there's never been an issue. So, I mean, it depends for everyone's situation. But I was just curious to see how you guys feel about that, because I know it's been a big talk now. They're actually looking to, like, finally, you know, legalize it on a federal level.
No, for sure.
What about you, Andy? How do you feel about that whole thing?
I mean, I'm the whole thing. In the state of Illinois, I mean, knowing what I know now, I mean, to me, it comes down to, like, just, you know, like workplace stuff. I don't want to lose benefits because I'm getting high, and, like, you know, that's the whole thing. If you test positive, you're fucked. You're gonna lose all your fucking benefits.
And yeah, your pension, your, you know, all. You know,
even everything. Though it's legal, it's small amounts, and the whole problem is, until they get better testing, you should be cool. I mean, but I don't see the federal government letting up anytime soon. But it is conversations you should have with your partner. And I mean, I know people who are doing it now and they have high positions, but they're not smoking. They're taking like gummy bear stuff and all that other stuff. And they seem to enjoy it. And I have no problems with that, especially if it's just recreational stuff and they're not doing it when they're going to work or the day before. They mostly do it on the weekend. So it don't bother me none.
Right. All right. Well, that's interesting to get your point of view on that. I mean, yeah, everyone's got their own situation that they got to, take care of. So, but yeah, I mean, the reason I bring this up, it kind of leads us into the article of this week. And so the article here is coming from Chicago Tribune. The article states, marijuana makes your brain more plasticky, and that's a good thing. And this was published actually a couple years ago in 2019 by Trey Reckling. And here it goes into saying, so plastic is not usually a word people associate with their brains, but they should. When it comes to the brain, being malleable is a good thing. So neuroplasticity is the broad term used to describe how our brains reorganize the connections for our benefit. And marijuana can increase this. So the brain's neural connections, it's like a roadmap. It's pretty complex. And when you're born, your brain creates new pathways to communicate and learn new things and talk to the rest of your body. So scientists have recognized that plasticity is stronger in the brains of younger people than those of older people. And that's why, younger people can learn more languages and they can have a more open mind to learning than generally, an older person would be. And so this article goes into detail about how they found, studies have shown that marijuana can lead to plasticity, which is, kind of allowing your brain to absorb more information than it would have previously. So it looks like there's more benefits to marijuana than was previously seen. And now that there's more legalization, at least on the state level, there's more studies being done that's finding more benefits from marijuana. So researchers have shown that a single low dose of THC helped to protect rodents from brain damage and continued to help for 7 weeks. Patients with THC in their system are also less likely to die from traumatic brain injury, not to mention less likely to die from during hospitalization. And it's now also believed that cannabinoids can stimulate protein enzymes in the areas of the brain associated with memory, planning, judgment, personality, balance, and attention. So all this information to me is just mind-blowing, to say the least, no pun intended. But it's like, it's crazy to think that this was that helpful for so long and it was been illegal for so long. So, I mean, it does go into more detail, and I do strongly suggest that our viewers take a chance to read this. And it's probably like a 5-minute read. It's not too long of an article, and I just kind of...
Yeah, it took me like 10 minutes.
but you don't have enough plastic in your head.
I know, man. It's been a while. But no, I think you hit the nail on the head, Noel. I think with states legalizing it, more and more the stigma of marijuana is going to start lifting, and more research is going to be done into it and allowing people to be more comfortable with it, to where you're going to start seeing benefits and maybe negatives as well. Maybe it'll bring to light more negatives. But for now, there seems to be a lot of positives coming out of the research. And it seems, optimistic to maybe the future of more wide use medically or recreationally.
Yeah. I think the last 20 years, more and more studies have come out about how the medical use of marijuana has helped multiple people, especially with like the post-traumatic stuff, people with the NFL players with concussions, people with people who had cancer to help them eat.
Even like joint pains. I hear a ton of people using them for like arthritis and like rubbing it on muscle pains and bone aches, and it helps out.
for your cataracts, you know, all this stuff. And for a long time, marijuana just had just, I don't want to sound like some woke asshole, like it had some racial overtones about who did it and who sold it and all this other stuff. So it scared certain people. And
damn, marijuana's racist. Holy shit.
Well, the people, you know, I'm a person of color, so I could get to say this. We all know who sold it on the streets. But
allegedly.
No, I seen it with my own eyes. So it's my life experience.
I bought it from white people too, though.
Yeah.
It
wasn't as good, though, right?
Jesus. Unless it was at homegrown. I had met a few people with homegrown stuff, so, and that's where it's at.
Yeah. Getting back to it, you know, there was racial overtones, scared some other people. And then I think if you really do your due diligence and if you put some thought into it, it's easy to grow. Not easy, but it can be grown. And I think that scared some other people that they're going to lose out on money. They got all this other medical shit. And so that's why I think they put this big campaign to say it's bad for you and you're going to do crazy, stupid shit. And over a long time, you know, education, people doing their own research found out that's not the case. And we're at to a point now where it's just about legal in a lot of states in the United States, except the federal government. And who knows, maybe I thought for sure Trump was going to change that, but he didn't do it. I don't see Biden doing it. So we'll see what happens. I mean, the federal government is like the last obstacle of making it for anyone to get. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But we all know that cannabis has a lot of medical uses, and it's been overall pretty good, a good thing. But long-term, I have never really heard anybody say anything bad about cannabis. And, like, that's kind of weird. So I don't know if there's some, like this narrative trying to be pushed. But we all know, you know, on the manufacturing side with paper, clothes, rope, and all that, it could do a lot of shit. It's just it's not being really utilized here in the United States.
I was just reading not too long ago, about a week or so ago, that they're making strides to see how it affects diabetes. And Alana was showing me this article, and I was just like, holy shit, now this thing is going to help diabetics as well. I'm like, it's nuts. Yeah.
It does lower your blood sugar. I can attest to that. If I ever have a little bit too much and I haven't eaten anything throughout the day, it will lower my blood sugar, which is not a big deal. Like, I can handle that, but I do feel like a change. I feel like, maybe if I eat like a banana, I'll feel, you know, more baseline on my sugar.
Right.
So for those that have like high blood sugar, this would be really good for that, because it would bring you down to the baseline versus me being brought down lower than the baseline.
Right.
But yeah, dude, you're right. Andy, you're right too. There's a lot of businesses that will be possibly negatively impacted by this, because if marijuana does become federally legal, businesses can start booming. They can start making textile stuff, making paper products, making food, because you can get hemp protein. They can do so many different things with it. It's a versatile plant. And all these other companies will have to be on a high alert, because they're probably going to have to either adjust their production to, you know, marijuana, to hemp, and change all their equipment and possibly lose, you know, billions of dollars. Or they're going to have to just go under. And so you're going to see a big shift once this becomes federally legal. I truly believe it will in our lifetime. So probably the next 5-10 years, I imagine it's going to be legal for sure, because we've already made a lot of headway within the last 10 years. 10 years ago, when I was just a little bit out of high school, it was very strict rules about it. And I had to keep super, super secret that I used it. And never thought the day would come where I could just fucking use it without worry. And I'm very, very happy that day is here. And that's for Illinoisans. That's for people that do it in their state that it's legal. But it would be nice to see it federally legal, so that millions of people that need it, need the medicine, can do it without having to do it in secret or be stressed about people finding out or work finding out or whatever. Because it's something that should just be enjoyed. I'm not saying you got to get all jacked up and messed up and retarded and all that. But you can enjoy it and you can do it responsibly and it can help you medically as well. So,
yeah, and it's a wild plant. So I know Andy was mentioning that it's easier to grow. And I know if you want to grow like the really good stuff that are really potent, then yes, you have to put a little more time. But if you just want to let it grow, I could throw some seeds in my backyard and it would probably go grow all by itself without me having to manage it too much. And maybe that's the kind of stuff they use for paper and for clothing and for whatnot. And then maybe the stuff that people use for medically, they can, you know, invest a little more time into it, make it more potent.
Yeah, I mean, it has a lot of applications in, like, for the joints. Like in Mexico, you know, they have this like cream with like a lot of THC, marijuana, and they put some other stuff in. People swear by it. I mean, I know some of senior citizens that they use it and they swear by it. It's like it's a lot better than the stuff that they have here in the States that you can buy on Amazon. And it's, I think it's just a it's grown maybe better down there or something in Mexico, but they swear by it. They say the stuff here in the States doesn't even compare. I think they just put more of it in the creams and for the joints down there than they do up here.
You know, that's a good point. I think that is true. I think certain products in other countries, they're a little more regulated. Yeah, a little less regulated, so they can get away with something like that. But it is, you know, good medicine. Like you bring up a good example. That's good for joints, and it's better than taking an ibuprofen and hurting your liver or hurting your kidneys or stomach, you know. And I actually got my mom to take it as well for her sleep. So she'll take it at night if she can't sleep. And she's had like issues with insomnia throughout her life. So, you know, to keep her from taking dangerous sleeping pills that could really, you know, be detrimental to her health, I'm very happy that she's open to taking these small pills that I give of THC oil, and it helps her to sleep. So you know, like I said, man, it's a new day and age. I never thought we'd get here, but I am. And that's everything we have for today, everybody. I want to say thank you very much for joining us on the Freeform Network. If you're not already, please follow us on Facebook. We are at Freeform Network, or on Twitter. We are at FFR Podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions for our show, please send us an email. And that email is ffnquestions@gmail.com. For Freeform Radio, my name is Noel, and we have Daniel.
Yes, sir. Enjoy your days. Enjoy your weather. Enjoy your time with your families.
And we have Andy.
It's all good, and we'll talk to you next time. And, hey, let us know if you got some stories where people are using some cannabis products, how it's impacted your daily life or your loved ones at ffnquestions@gmail.com. We'd like to see some of those and let us know what you guys think about it.
Definitely, definitely. I do want to hear more stories about that. And thank you again, everybody. Well, we wish you a great night and a beautiful tomorrow.
That was cool, Dad.